Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table. We dance where we're able. We do routines to corner scenes, to footwork in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot. We eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table. Our shows are for the table. The many times we give and rise that are quite unsingable. We'll rock so mad in Camelot. We sing from the diaphragm.
I have to push the pram a lot.
Well, on second thought, let's not go to Camelot.
Sam, sorry.
It is a silly place.
What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how do you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh, how'd you do?
How do you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
Oh, didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings.
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake, her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite, held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
But you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
But if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they'd put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help! Help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway! Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about! Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Hear ye! Hear ye! King Shaziz the Terrible! All rise for King Shaziz the Terrible and the Knights of the Round Table!
Name is going on in here. What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch it.
There's something happening here. What it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there, telling me I got to beware. think it's time we stop. Children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. There's battle lines being drawn, and nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speak in their minds are getting so much resistance from behind. Every time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. What a field day for the heat. A thousand people in the street singing songs and carrying signs, mostly say hooray for our side. It's time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Strikes deep into your life, it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop now. What's that sound? Everybody look.
Oh, everybody. You're listening to the Knights of the Round Table. Seems like all the knights are out slaying dragons and such right at the moment, so maybe some of them will show up here before it's all said and done. But anyway, you're listening to the Knights of the Round Table at www.shazizradio.com. If you want to join in on the chat, jump over there to the superchat.html. And so with that said, I posted a video over there, DreamWorks Animation Chicken Run. And so in the spirit of duct tape and baling wire and all the noise in the background over here, it's raining like cats and dogs outside and got the fan spinning around there making a lot of racket. So I'm going to try to play this this little soundtrack of this this DreamWorks Animation Chicken Run. I'm going to try to play it live. Maybe with some commentary, I don't know.
Operation Cover! No chicken escapes from Tweedy's farm!
You've got to get out of here. I know our last escape attempt was a bit of a fiasco.
These chickens are planning a little getaway.
The plan is, we go over the wire.
That might work.
Now, they may have found their only hope.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. You've been a wonderful audience. My name's Rocky.
And what brings you to England?
Why, all the beautiful English chicks, of course.
Pushy Americans.
Hi, how are you?
Overpaid, over sex, and over here.
Which funk is mine? What is it?
It's a pie machine. Chickens go in, pies come out.
Ooh, what kind of pies?
We're all going to fly over that fence, and Mr. Rhodes is going to show us how.
Did you say fly? This summer.
I don't want to be a pie.
I don't like gravy.
Rocky!
I'm coming!
From the Academy Award-winning creators of Wallace and Gromit.
Rocky! I'll be down before you can say mixed vegetables!
Dare to dream.
There's a better place out there.
And get ready to fly.
Emergency, put your head between your knees and
kiss your bum goodbye.
Chicken Run.
I mustn't panic. We mustn't panic.
Well, now that was a real hoot. I was all like into the show, man. So anyway, they say that life imitates art, and amazingly enough, Stephen Gibbons posted a comment in the chat room. If I scroll back up here and get to it, he said, "Like a lot of these, like a lot of films, they are a good analogy for the predicament we humans find ourselves in." Orwell's Animal Farm. Somebody just typed another message and scrolled me up. All right, animal farms are created equal, but some are more equal than others. So anyway. You know, that's I got to thinking about this whole deal because there was this jerk on YouTube. Imagine that. Can you really honestly imagine an actual jerk on YouTube? So anyway, this jerk, he's trying to debunk you know, perpetual motion, but it's not necessarily what he was trying to debunk, or it was basically how, you know. It's like when you're all mice in a maze, and you got one specific mouse in there that just, you know, the know-it-all bunch of the mice there, and he's sitting there telling you, well, you know, they say there ain't no way out of here, so why even try, you know? And there's other guys out there, you know, that are like, well, you know, hey, we've been in here all this time. We're going to be in here forever. Ain't nothing to do anyway. So why not try to escape? So when I first saw that movie Chicken Run, it kind of reminded me of how life is out there. It's I don't know. Jermaine posted Shaun the Sheep. I think that's what it was. My brain is still on the Chicken Run. Sorry about that, folks. I went and watched a little piece of this Shaun the Sheep. I'm gonna have to watch that because he kind of reminds me of myself sometimes. But anyway, if you watch some of these animations, you know, people trying to escape, and it's so realistic. You sit there and you got these people in there who are continuously, rooting for the prison, so to speak. When these guys are out there saying, well, you know, the laws of physics, you can't beat the laws of physics, that's all there is to it. You know, that's that, and, you know, and they want to tell you how stupid you are, and they want to use some foul language to try to prove their point and all that. And I'm sitting here thinking to myself, you know, here's some individuals that are like probably the ones that tell you about UFOs and going into space and all that kind of stuff, you know. And yet, some of the things that you'd see in science fiction films look as though they would defy the laws of physics, you know. So it looks like there'd be a new rule, laws of physics, a new set of laws of physics in the future, you know. But you got one cocky individual that, you know, he's a know-it-all, and he wants to tell everybody how stupid they are for trying to escape, you know, trying to break the laws of physics, so to speak, or even if not just break them, just to test the laws of physics. I posted a video link in there yesterday of a physics toy that I put together out of a bottle and a balloon. If you get an opportunity, go over there and take a look at that, and if you like it, share it. And, you know, I hope they use this and take it to school and show some of the kids what this little toy can do. And, you know, I'm not saying I'm the one that came up with it. I mean, the idea came out of my head, but either way, it's a pretty nifty little idea. Probably somebody else out there's probably done something similar to that, but didn't see it on any YouTube video. It's just something that came up out of my head when I was working on some. I'm studying up some hydraulics and fluid dynamics and water and such, you know, for a project that I'm working on. But regardless, that's one of the things that came to my mind. So I made a video last night, put it out there, and so anyway, if you get an opportunity, watch that physics toy. It's pretty nifty, and basically that's I'm trying to figure out the right way to say what it is I'm trying to say without sounding like a babbling buffoon. If you watch that video Chicken Run and you see the guys that are trying to come up with all kinds of different ideas in there and how to get out of this chicken coop and get to freedom, to a better place. And then you go out there and you watch the real world and you find out that, man, it's going on in the real world just as much as it's going on in the TV. You know, you constantly got people telling you that there's somebody, but some bad guy out there trying to get you, or doomsday's coming around the corner. And if you ever notice, doomsday kind of keeps on getting moved. And so, I think Stephen posted another one down here. Let me check this out real quick. A group of scientists placed five monkeys in a cage, and in the middle of the ladder with a banana on top. Every time a monkey went up the ladder, the scientists soaked the rest of the monkeys with cold water. After a while, every time a monkey went up the ladder, the others beat up the one on the ladder. After some time, no monkey dared to go up the ladder, regardless of the temptation. Scientists then decided to substitute one of the monkeys The first thing this new monkey did was go up the ladder. Immediately, the other monkeys beat him up. After several beatings, the new member learned not to climb the ladder, even though never knew why. A second monkey was substituted, and the same occurred. The first monkey participated in the beating of the second monkey. A third monkey was changed, and the same repeated beating. The fourth was substituted, and the beating was repeated. And finally, the fifth monkey was replaced. What was left was a group of five monkeys that, even though never received a cold shower, continued to beat up the monkey who attempted to climb the ladder. If it was possible to ask the monkeys why they would beat up all those who attempted to go up the ladder, I bet you the answer would be, "I don't know. That's how things are done around here. Does it sound familiar?" Man, how, brother? Don't miss the opportunity to share this with others, as they might be asking themselves why we continue to do what we are doing if there's a different way out there. Man, that sums it all up, Stephen. I'm telling you, I don't even need to do a show now. That's exactly where I was going with all that. It's I gotta save this, and then I'm gonna have to post it up there on the on the doggone website for everybody to see. So, yeah, that's about it, man. That's about it. And you wonder why people, you know, they'll sit around continuously and they'll tell you how they want a better world. But nobody wants to really cross that line. And if you try to do anything to try to make it a better world, well, then pretty much that whole monkey thing comes into play. You get beat down. They always want you to believe that the laws of physics are written in stone, that you can't do this and you can't do that, and if you do this, the government's going to get you. If you go down here, the terrorist or some other race of people is going to get you. You know, I'm not chicken in the chicken run who's saying, you know, heck with all this, let's get over the fence. I'm saying, I'm like, I keep talking about how whenever me and Thomas and Raymond and Muddy's all together, and there's a, if you picture it, we're the sheep in the background, and there's all these crowds of sheep, and they're standing there, and the big bad wolf is at the entrance of the cave, and he's saying, "Well, why don't you come all in and let's have some dinner, you know?" And we're kind of looking at the situation, and we're saying, hold on a second. Let's not be so hasty. Let's not rush in there. And let's think about this for a second. He did say that we're all going to be able to come in here and have some dinner. But what he didn't say was what's on the menu, AKS, you know. So, I'm going to click this other link here. Probably shouldn't do this live, but, you know, it's Stephen Gibbons always posts some really good links. How government policy is maintained, five monkeys.
Five monkeys. Start with a cage containing five.
What happened?
Monkeys. Inside the cage, hang a banana on a string and place a set of stairs under it. Before long, a monkey will go to the stairs and start to climb towards the banana. As soon as he touches the stairs, all of the monkeys are sprayed with cold water. After a while, another monkey makes an attempt with the same result. All the monkeys are sprayed with cold water. Pretty soon, none of the monkeys will try to climb the stairs. Now, put away the cold water. Remove one monkey from the cage and replace it with a new one. The new monkey sees the banana and wants to climb the stairs. To his surprise and horror, all of the other monkeys attack him. After another attempt and attack, he knows that if he tries to climb the stairs, he will be assaulted. Next, remove another of the original five monkeys and replace it with a new one. The newcomer goes to the stairs and is attacked. the previous newcomer takes part in the punishment with enthusiasm. Likewise, replace a third original monkey with a new one, then a fourth, then a fifth. Every time the newest monkey takes to the stairs, he is attacked. Most of the monkeys that are beating him have no idea why they were not permitted to climb the stairs or why they are participating in the beating of the newest monkey. After replacing all the original monkeys, none of the remaining monkeys have ever been sprayed with cold water. Nevertheless, no monkey ever again approaches the stairs to try for the banana. Why not? Because as far as they know, that's the way it's always been done around here. And that is how government policy is maintained.
Yeah, that's brilliant, man. That's brilliant. I'll thumb that video up. Hope people get the chance to see that. So anyway, you know, that's such is life. You know, you sit there, you see things wrong in this world, and I'm that one particular monkey who must be hard-headed. After taking all the beatings, I'm still talking it. I'm still talking outside the box. I'm still thinking outside the box because I refuse to go back in the cage. You know, maybe I was the monkey who peeked in and saw the whole way the system was working, and I knew they're going to fix and put me in the cage, and when I got there, I was going to tell all the people about it so that they stopped beating each other up. But I still think there's a way out, and regardless of whether there's a way out or not, if you're going to be there forever and a day and there ain't nothing else to do, what's the harm in trying, outside of maybe getting beat up by the other monkeys? And so, if I'm the monkey or the sheep, and I'm sitting back and I'm watching the big bad wolf, where I see the banana up there, I'm going to tell the people, the other sheep, you might want to proceed with caution if you're going in there to have dinner with them, and I'm going to figure out a creative way to get that monkey, or get that banana off that ladder, such as maybe I'll just knock the ladder over and not even step on it, you know? That's the way to think outside the box. See, that's what I'd have done to begin with. That's if after I saw a few people getting beat up or trying to step on the ladder, just don't step on it. They haven't been trained to do that. So go around the fence instead of over the fence or whatever, under the fence, however it takes. But I guess the point in this whole deal, you got this turkey out there on YouTube that's just being all rude to everybody and, you know, basically talking about how, you know, stupid people are for believing in perpetual motion or whatever, you know. And I'm thinking, you know, if nobody's out there trying, then the status quo is just that. It's you believe what you're told, and the next monkey in the line will believe what they're told, and before it's all said and done, just like that little video right there and what Stephen Gibbons posted, nobody questions anything outside. You know, there's this conspiracy theory out there called the Flat Earth, and a lot of people are out there, they're talking about how stupid these people are and whatever, you know, on both sides of the fence. They're calling each other names and they're arguing whether or not the earth is flat or not. And personally, I don't care. I don't care whether the earth is flat. I don't care whether it's concave, convex, hollow. I don't care what shape the earth is. You know, I care what shape the earth is in. I care what shape society and the path that humanity is on, but as far as whether or not the shape is flat or round or whatever, what's it matter? It doesn't matter nothing to me. I ain't never been up high enough to see back at the earth to see whether it's flat or not, so I couldn't say definitively, and I don't believe anything anybody ever tells me unless I can verify it. So with that said, don't believe nothing I tell you unless you can verify it as well. You know, because just like those monkeys, they never knew why the heck they were beating the other monkey up, you know. They never some, and it says right there at the end that, you know, some of them never experienced the cold shower. They didn't even, they didn't get washed down, but yet they were out beating each other up. Kind of sounds familiar when they talk about how people are beating each other up because of things that may or may not have happened in the past. you know, racial tensions and such. And so the government, for, you know, whatever they're worth, or the elite of the world, so to speak, and they're out there doing all this stuff, and they know how to basically manipulate the monkeys into getting what you're doing. I saw a video some time back. There's a video out there, a little short series called Ascension. And it's about, they send these people out into space, and there was a 100-year mission to go, you know, to some new system or whatever. Well, this happened in this video series about this around about the same time as the moon landings, supposed moon landings, whether you believe them or not. All right, either way, regardless, another conspiracy. But after the moon landing, they sent this deep space mission out. It was going to be 100 years to get to a certain planet out there, and they were going to repopulate. It was a one-way trip, and generation after generation, and finally the folks out there at the end, you know, they only know stories of Earth. Anyway, so it turns out when you get through watching this whole deal, and I'm going to go ahead and spoil it because most of you ain't going to watch it anyway, turns out they never even left Earth. They were in a simulator the whole entire time, and only a couple people in the deal even had a clue that they had never left Earth. The rest of them honestly believed that they were in space. They had it simulated so well, and even to the point when somebody gets sucked out into space and dies because of something that went on or whatever, they had this planned out to the T. But for those inside the simulation, it was so real that if you would have been one of the ones that told them that it wasn't real, they would have argued till they were blue in the face that, oh yeah, yeah, we're not in space. Yeah, really, why don't you go out that door then? And because of the negativity that's going out there, even the person telling the story, even though they believed that they weren't in space, probably wouldn't risk going through that door because they weren't positive. They only heard the conspiracy, or they only thought that something wasn't right, and you're like, oh, you know, I don't believe we're really in space, you know. They actually did a little reality TV deal where they convinced these folks that they were going to get to go into space, and as the show went on, partly way through this deal, because of some of the ridiculous stuff that was going on, there was a couple people that started to question whether or not they were even in space to begin with. And so that's kind of the example that I'm trying to give. But, you know, life imitates art. And you see this stuff on TV, and you see how the government is, and how the secret societies are, and how, you know, like the conspiracy world call the people the sheeple. They just follow around and listen to what they're told and never question anything outside the norm. And so if it was said in a book, then it must be true. That's all there is to it. The Jermaine says, just throw a monkey to the bananas. Yeah, that's what I do. Your solution is to throw a monkey. That's what Stephen Gibbons said. Yes, no need for a ladder. See, I like the way these guys think. So if we're ever in, the monkey cage, I want these guys beside me. We'll figure it out one way or another, using common sense. That's one of the things that this world is seriously lacking in, and that's common sense. If people use some common sense, you know, first off, after somebody been in there that doggone long, and they believe that, you know, this is the thing we do for some whatever reason, we beat up whoever steps on that ladder. I mean, not one of them ever questioned why. You know, it's just what we do. And so society being the way that it is right now, people are desensitized to so much out there. We go to war, you know. Hey, look, we're going to war. The guys and gals at home, they're not actually going to war, but they know we're going to war. And they actually, in the back of their mind, they know that people die in war, but yet they're pretty much complicit because it's a necessary evil. We got to send people over there to keep the terrorists from coming over and attacking us. But that's what they've been told all this time. Never mind the fact that the terrorists never even stepped foot in their neighborhood. Probably not even in their state or their town or even their country for that matter. But yet, we're going to agree that, yeah, okay, this is it. Let's go over and bomb the crud out of them. Let's just, you know, show them what's what. It's crazy. So you got one mouse in the maze who knows it all. He wanted to be rude to everybody and disrespectful. So that's kind of sparked this this conversation right here that we're all in the maze. We're all searching for the cheese, trying to answer the question, why are we here? What's the purpose? Is there any way out besides dying? We know that if you croak, you're not here no more, but we don't know where necessarily, we can't prove where you go after all that kind of jazz. But, nonetheless, life goes on. You're told on a daily basis that Planet X is coming to get you, the terrorist is coming to get you, the pollution, the climate change, everything out there, doomsday after doomsday after doomsday. It's, you know, goes way back before the year 2000, the Y2K episode, but nonetheless, Y2K came and gone, and 2012 came and gone, and all the dates after that came and gone, and you still got people out there making a heck of a lot of money spreading fear and propaganda and whatever. Some of them may actually believe what they're saying, and then whenever it doesn't show up, they're like, oh, well, you know, maybe the numbers are off, or, you know, but they never really honestly come out and say, well, guess I was wrong, you know? You know, in my book of faith, it says no man knows the time or day that he'd come like a thief in the night. And essentially, whether you're a believer or non-believer, that's what happens. Death doesn't come when you expect it, unless you're trying to do yourself in, which I don't advocate by any means, because you're more valuable than you can possibly imagine. You know, as long as you ain't one of those monkeys who just follows the average line and just want to beat the next guy coming in just because he stepped on the ladder. You got to be smarter than that. And we ever going to get anywhere in life while we got knuckleheads up there running the world, you know, just telling us what to believe and what not to believe. You know, I talk about my faith. I don't tell you, you better believe it or not, because I don't know. Maybe I was lied to back in the day. Maybe I'm still being lied to. Maybe I'm like the doggone dude in the show where he's on TV, don't even know it. The Truman Show, that's the name of that show. He didn't even know he's on TV. Everybody's watching him like a reality, watching his life unfold and all that kind of stuff. You know, and I don't know what the, you know, what's so significant about me or why any government would want to try to manipulate my life or take the time to, you know, hassle me or spy on me or whatever. But sometimes I feel like I'm in that cage. Sometimes I feel like every time I go down the road, I see there's a camera in every doggone direction. You know, somebody's always looking at me. You know, what about the time you just go out and have some peace and quiet, sit by yourself somewhere, you know? You can't truly live being free when you got the same, when you're in the same maze with the same people who continuously always tell you why it is that you can't do something, or tell you how stupid you are for trying to think outside of what the man told you was reality. That's all there is to it. That's one of the main reasons why I don't force my religious views on anybody, because I don't know. I mean, I'm still a believer, and I'll hold my faith until I feel like I've been proven wrong or until the evidence comes to light. But in the meantime, I'm just going to be me. I'm going to believe what I believe and do what I do, and hopefully I'm right and everything works out. But in the meantime, I'm not going to discourage anybody from going out there questioning the norm, seeking the real truth. You got to watch it, folks. If you're out there and you're discouraging people from taking their own life path, you know, unless you see there's something bad coming down the road for them and try to, you know, give them some advice from experience or whatever. If you discourage people from trying to defy the laws of physics, even, you know, maybe some of these perpetual motion machines out there are fake. But even in the process of faking it, they had to put something good in there to make it look good enough. So now you maybe got an electric motor hidden inside this fountain that, you know, part of the time the fountain's working by itself for gravity, and the other part of the time it has to rely on a electric motor to reset the system. Either way, the system became more efficient, whereas at one point it would have stopped before. Now it will continue. All you have to do is every once in a while put a little power to this motor and refill container B, and then it will keep on going. So half the time it's working on its own, the other half the time you have to assist it. So in my view, looking at it that way, it's not such a bad deal that they faked it. You know, it's a bad deal that they try to deceive somebody with it, but not a bad deal, because if you learn something from it, then it was a worthy video to begin with. And so, you know, they do try to manipulate what you believe. They try to manipulate your reality and maintain theirs, just like Stephen Gibbons just said in the chat room there. And, you know, I keep saying this all the time. I say, you know, we got to come together. And essentially that's what they're trying to do in this movie Chicken Run. They're trying to rally the troops, you know, and trying to get everybody to get together and work together and make the world a better place. Maybe the world's already a better place. Maybe it ain't as bad as we thought it was. Maybe we're just being lied to so they'll sell some more generators and guns and ammunition and all that kind of stuff. On the off chance that they are telling the truth, and doomsday's around the corner, and, you know, our time's a ticking, I suggest you live your life the best you can and prepare for the worst and hope for the best, that kind of deal. But if these guys and gals out there spreading all the fear and doing it for profit just because, you know, they know people are going to watch it. You throw some. I've got a subscription to one of the YouTubers out there, JS409 or 209 or something like that. But she put this doggone headline on there that pretty much said that you know, meteor was going to hit the planet, and you know, whatever, doomsday was on, was coming tomorrow. And so when you get to the video, she says, well, you know, it ain't really happening, I just wanted to see how many of you would show up or whatever, you know. It's kind of like the boy who cried wolf. As far as I'm concerned, now her credibility is questionable, because the next time it might be a real deal and I might actually not go watch the video, because I remember that before that when I got there, it was just a test. It's only a test, you know. If you blast off the emergency sirens every Wednesday like they do around here, every second Wednesday or Tuesday, I think it's Wednesday, they blast them off every second Tuesday to test out the emergency sirens. Well, what happens if the doggone tornado really happens on the second Wednesday? I mean, coincidence. Just so happens that there's a tornado coming. Well, for those who are used to looking at the doggone date to see whether it's Wednesday or not, they might not even get out of the way. They might, oh, it's just Wednesday. Yeah, no big deal. You know, they're just testing. And so they'll get mopped. That's kind of crazy, man. But the story of the boy who cried wolf, and this story Chicken Run, and probably even Shaun the Sheep. There's some things to be learned in some of the things out there. If you pay attention, if you watch TV in a different manner than the average Joe, just kind of sitting there having their brain flooded and just, you know, going along, get on watching, you know, basically absorbing all this information as if it was the gospel or whatever. Now, every time I'm watching TV, I'm questioning it. Even when I'm watching a favorite show, I'm like, only in Hollywood that can happen. That's against the laws of physics, stuff like that. But, you know, I just, people never cease to amaze me. I put videos out there, I've been called everything under the sun, been cussed up and down the storm, and by the same people who's always talking about, you know, hey, we gotta save the planet, we gotta get this doggone global warming fixed and all that. So, let me throw on a quick tune, and I think I'll be right back. Do 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 do. I gotta find a quick tune. This looks close enough. You're listening to Knights of the Round Table. Stay tuned.
The preacher man says it's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a going dry. Is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see, my woman and the kids and the dogs and me. I got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Folks can survive. I can plow a field all day long. I can catch catfish from dusk till dawn. Make our own whiskey and our own smoke too. Ain't too many things these old boys can't do. Good old tomatoes and homemade wine, and country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Because you can't starve us out and you can't make us run. Those women old boys raised on shotguns. We say grace, we say ma'am. If you ain't into that, we don't give a damn. From the West Virginia coal mines and the Rocky Mountains and the western skies. And we can skin a buck, we can run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I had a good friend in New York City. He never called me by my name, just Hillbilly. My grandpa taught me how to live off the land, and his taught him to be a businessman. He used to send me pictures of the Broadway nights, and I'd send him some homemade wine. But he was killed by a man with a switchblade knife. For $43, my friend lost his life. I'd love to spit some beach nut in that dude's eyes and shoot him with my old 45, cause a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Old boys raised on shotguns. We
California and South Alabama and little towns all around this land. We can skin a buck and run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive.
Name is going on in here. What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch it.
Can you
everybody, you're listening to the Knights of the Round Table at www.shazizradio.com. If you want to join in on the chat, jump over there to the superchat.html. I've been joined by Honorable Knight Jermaine Fishwick. How's it going, Jermaine?
Yeah, I'm good.
Cool. We've had a pretty good discussion off air right there. Hope we can get back some of the stuff we were talking about. You said you live in Holland, right?
Yeah.
Well, we were talking about some different things, like, for example, in Holland, you guys aren't allowed to own firearms. And over here, he's asking me a question about whether I think that Americans should be able to, you know, sell firearms and stuff like that. And I was telling you that it's a necessary evil because of the corruption and, you know, the potential that, you know, mankind has. The example I gave you was that if you got a nuclear bomb, you don't necessarily want to use the nuclear bomb. You just have it there as a deterrent. You know, don't mess with me because I got this. If I have to use it, I'll use it. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And so we're always continuously being told that there's a terrorist behind every doggone bush. You know, and doomsday's right around the corner. You know, stock up, you know, be prepared, live in fear, that kind of stuff. You can always trust your government, you can trust the police and all that kind of stuff, you know. And I ain't saying that all the police out there are bad, because I'm sure there's some good folks that got honorable intentions, but this is what we've been told all this time, that the police are bad.
Mm-hmm.
I honestly don't believe that America is nearly as bad as the mainstream media implies. So, what do you think?
Yeah. To be honest, I don't really know how the police, how they behave in America. We don't have bad cops around here. Not as I can see or can hear.
It's like in my neighborhood over here, you know, I know that there's some corrupt cops, and I know there's some...
There always are.
Yeah, but for the most part, you know, I look out my door, I can walk out the yard safely, I don't have to worry about somebody mugging me, or, you know, being attacked by Bigfoot, or aliens abducting me, and all that kind of stuff, and so I'm not seeing it, you know. It's like, unless you actually live in a war zone, then you're not seeing it. And so how would you even know whether or not the story was even true to begin with? You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Got any thoughts on that?
No, not really.
Well, I kind of threw you under the bus there. Sorry about that. Anyway, yeah. The thing I'm trying to say is, you know, I understand there's things in this world that need to be fixed. And just like the story Chicken Run, or the example that Steven posted about the five monkeys, you know, and how pretty much that's the way things go. You know, the government tells you things, the school tells you things, and anything outside of that, then you're just a tinfoil hat wearing crazy person. All right. Yeah. Well, I like the people who think outside the box. I like the people who's going to question the laws of physics. I like the people who's going to, you know, look at things and analyze them and think critically, you know, with some common sense for themselves. I mean, the rest of it, I can understand.
But that's how we advance into technology.
Yeah.
We need people that think outside of the box.
And for those guys out there that, like I started off talking about this one jerk on YouTube that, you know, sure, you know, you want to debunk a device that somebody made as not really perpetual motion, then do it respectfully. You know, you don't got to go out there like, you know, you're just another mouse in the maze. We all are. You know, none of us are better than the other guy, and none of us know it all. Otherwise, we'd be God, you know, but we're not. And so when somebody comes out there with a cocky attitude and starts degrading somebody and you know, if you believe in the perpetual motion, you're stupid. You just shut down a whole lot of brains that might have very well proven that you're wrong and perpetual motion is possible.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't like that. And so he would have got my respect if he would have said, yeah, you know, I'm personally, I don't believe in perpetual motion because the physics say this and this is why and this is how they fake this right here. So, you know, just be aware of that kind of stuff. That would have been, he would have earned my respect that way, see?
Mm-hmm.
And as far as the guy who actually faked it, like the one with the Huron Fountain.
Yeah, with the water pump.
Yeah. Now, half the time it's working on its own because it's using gravity and vacuum and such to basically pull that water up above its level. Mm-hmm. And the other half of the time, even though he faked it, is using a water pump. So that means that water pump only has to run half the time, right?
Yeah.
So that would make that system more efficient. If you designed your aquaponic system to only kick on when the float got to a certain level, then you could use that system right there to pull the water up above its level and pump the water with only using half the electricity.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Yeah, if you can envision a device that can put the water back in the first second basin so that it can repeat the cycle again with pumping via gravity. Yeah, I think it would work.
So, you know, in the process of this guy trying to fake his, you know, perpetual device and trying to get views on his deal, he actually taught me something because I don't think like the average Joe. I'm not the guy to rush in here and say, oh, well, you just fake because you put a motor in there. No, I'm looking at, okay, so what? He put a motor in there, but if you think about how this thing actually functions, we know that it will run until that container B goes dry.
Yeah.
And then it'll stop. Well, he figured out a way to put a motor in there to ensure that container B never goes dry, and so it continues to stay full.
No. I can't see the problem.
You know what I would have done? Instead of hiding it inside there, I would have put it outside on the last container that it's drawing down from and pumped that liquid back up to the top so that all you had to do is every so often turn that switch on and pump the water back up so that the bottom container is still dry and you still have the gravity going on.
Yeah.
Now see, you and I just critically sat there and thought through that process and took a negative and turned it into a positive. That's thinking outside the box. That's what I like. And, you know, that video that I first met you on where you did the solenoid motor on there. See, now that impressed me because you took a bunch of junk, salvaged stuff that otherwise just would have laid off in the bin or something like that, and you made a working device out of it. And I could see past any of the flaws that thing had, because I could actually physically see the torque that thing was producing, even with the wobbles in it. You know, you were overcoming that resistance of the wobbles and being able to, you know, make this thing work. And so in my view, I could see this thing being precisionally made and working like a champ. You see what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Or like your engine.
Yeah.
With the 12 coils.
So you'd have basically a 12-cylinder solenoid motor that would have a massive amount of torque. And hook that to a newer style. They got some transmissions out there, some newer style transmissions that aren't like the old ones. I don't know if you've ever seen them. It's like a cone shape on one side gear and then a cone shape gear on the other side. And
yeah,
the way that they work together is they build up to speed and finally work their way down to the highest speed. Now, it's pretty doggone amazing how that transmission works. And there's no hydraulic clutches to it. It's just the way that it starts off almost like a 10-speed bike. You know, you got to manually change it on the shifter. But this is because of the centrifugal force. When it builds up to speed, it kind of works its way down like a spider gear until it finally gets all the way to the end and it's in the highest speed.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I thought that was pretty doggone cool, man.
I thought of a transmission which has some different sizes of wheels on an axle that comes from the engine, and on the other side, on the, there's another axle, and on the opposite side with the also different types of wheels, and they have belts all around them, and you just, and they're all loose, but you tighten the belts, you tighten the ratio which you want to use.
That sounds cool.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, that sounds cool. They got some variable speed pulleys that kind of work sort of like that. I got one on my Bobcat, and there's actually one on lawnmowers. I'm going to have to add Raymond in here. Hold on. Let me see if I can add some people. Add people. Now I got to find him and hope that he'll pick up. Raymond, if you're listening, I'm adding you, so pick up. Alright, I think I added him in. Are you there, Raymond?
No.
Nope. Ain't there yet. Alright, I think I added him. Good. Maybe I added in the wrong one. Hold on, let me try this again. Mm-hmm. Alright. Let's go like that. Add people. Sorry, Raymond, I added you to the wrong room.
Some technical difficulties.
Yeah, duct tape and bailing wire, brother. That's what holds this show together. Okay, yeah. There we go. Select. Raymond, add. Now, I think I added him. Hopefully, he'll pick up. All right, Raymond, you there yet? Okay, I'm going to end this call real quick, Raymond, and I'll call you both back at the same time, see if that works.
No problem.
Everybody listening to the Knights of the Round Table, this is how all this craziness goes.
Hello.
All right, I got Jermaine. Now, hopefully Raymond will pick up. Hey, right, well, he's added in there anyway. So, where were we? I lost my place.
We talked about transmissions.
Yeah, so anyway, there's a lot of different mechanical innovations that came about because somebody tested the laws of physics and they found certain anomalies that were beneficial, and they expanded on them. So to me, you know, those are the kind of thinkers, the free thinkers of the world that I'm trying to reach out to, you know, bring us all together and make things happen. In the meantime, you got knuckleheads out there, you know, one of the Five Monkey crew that just want to beat you down every time you step on the ladder, you know? And so I think that at some point it's like you and I and others out there had looked in before we actually went into the cage where the monkeys were beating the other guy down with the banana, and we was thinking around him and trying to explain to him, look.
You're losing the common sense.
Yeah. You know, those folks out there that believe the earth is flat, and I started off to say something on that subject, they believe the earth is flat, and doggone it, somebody trying to call my other phone. That's just live peak radio for you. They're going to have to call back. Or leave a message. Beep, beep. Anyway, so what I was trying to say is, there's a debate going on out there whether the earth is flat or whether the earth is round or whatever, and I couldn't care less whether it's flat or round. You know, I ain't never been to space, so I don't know. I haven't seen back far enough to see, you know, what shape it is in. And so with that said, I'm just trying to fix what's going on down here. But meanwhile, I don't discourage these guys from having this conversation. What I do discourage them from is basically treating each other like trash to try to prove the point. I like the critical thinking portion of it and the debate and the science that comes in to try to prove their point, and may the best man win. You see what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that they necessarily have to treat each other poorly in order to, you know, try to find out the truth. Is the earth flat or is it round? There's scientific ways that you could probably figure it out. I mean, irrefutable, you could see with your own eyes kind of thing. But some portions of the society, they're not actually going out there testing nothing. They're just reading from the book and what the physics say. And so, essentially, they're part of that monkey crew that just believe what they were told all this time. And for whatever reason, they keep doing what they do because they don't even know why. It's because everybody does it, you know. You see what I mean?
No.
That's how easy it is to manipulate society for the elite out there. They know that we're going to do this. But they know if... it's like... You ever heard this, the term destabilization of nations?
Yeah.
Yeah, essentially you send a couple people in there to agitate each other, and you get a fight started. Next thing you know, the fight turns into a riot, and from that point on, it turns into a war, and you know their society collapses. And I believe that that's actually happening here in the United States. I believe that somebody's out there stirring the pot, trying to get everybody to not trust, you know, certain portions of the government or each other, or you know, what, different races or whatever.
Trying to create chaos.
Yeah. It's like order out of chaos, just like you said, man. And so that's why the people like us, we got to kind of be on the sideline there and say, look, maybe y'all don't want to keep an eye on this side over there because they're trying to get y'all to fighting, and ain't really going down like they're saying it. Mm-hmm. And so... That's why I get frustrated when I see other people, other mice in the maze, or sheep, if you want to call them that, basically sitting there towing the party line and telling you how stupid you are for questioning the possibility of something as simple as perpetual motion. They still can't explain why the if space is like they said and the Earth is flying around the sun or whatever. And this has been going on for billions of years, according to the Big Bang Theory and how the universe was created. Now, I don't know about you, Jermaine, but if something goes for longer than 100 years, that's more than perpetual motion for me.
Yeah.
If it stops after I'm gone, so what? It stayed there for 100 years. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
So, that's the way I look at it. You know, and even if it isn't quite perpetual motion, but it makes it more efficient, then I think it's worthy of looking into. I've got it. Somebody just, I'm gonna have to take a quick music break. Everybody and his brother trying to call me. Stay tuned. You're listening to Knights of the Round Table, duct tape and belling wire.
take my cakes from. Using a teapot, a mug of fine china, been hooked up to ivy, need constant supplies. And a drip for my urges, my virgin perverted, perverted brown tea. I'm certain it's worth it. With Sherpas who work hers and use a fresh fountain. I've discerned brews from Peruvian mountains. I've slurped up a cup from an elephant truck with a couple of monks who are utterly stuck. I've had bourbons with sultans and creams with queens, and I've bathed in Earl Grey. I'm really that keen, and missionaries dismiss me for my single epiphany. The difference between him and me is a simple sip of British tea. So when times are hard and life is rough, you can stick the kettle on and find me a cup. Now when I say Earl Grey, you say yes please. Earl Grey,
yes please.
Earl Grey,
yes please.
When I say Assam, you say lovely. Assam,
lovely.
Assam,
lovely.
When I say ooh, you say ah. Around the world in 80 brew to see the place it takes me to make a brew that tastes like the cream cakes made by Andrew Dew. I'm not the same as you, get shaky but aim to swing amazing fluids but don't make it the same. Now using fine leaves picked by pretty maidens in a magnetic by a seamstress who lives in Copenhagen, brewed up in a pot made of semi-precious metal, let the blessed content settle in my very special kettle. Now when I say ooh, you say long. Ooh,
long.
Ooh,
long.
When I say herbal, you say no thanks. Herbal,
no thanks.
Herbal,
no thanks.
No. No, I want milk in it. Stronger. Wanna see that spoon stand up.
If you're tired of tea, then you're tired of life.
I'm madder than a hatter, and it fires my mic. Liken me to Earl Grey, a Sam, or Ginger, Lapsang, Souchon, raise my pinky finger. Keep your snorting coffee in a proper cup of coffee pot, and spot me lobbing teapot to your Ponty rotten coffee shop. Coffee clocks nodding off, lost the plot snorting off. Need some caffeine tannin and a Battenberg to top it off. Cut them off a different cloth, a different lot can take their beer on 80 cups a day. I haven't slept for 80 years. You could say I'm mad for tea, or just say I'm mad, or you can't stay any longer. Oh, actually, I'm quite glad. All the more Battenberg for me. I can barely pour. My hands have got a bit shaky from caffeine. Oh, I love it though. I'd sell my own grandma for a cup. Well, I'd sell your grandma for a cup.
Hear ye, hear ye. He shall seize the turtle. All those who are king shall seize the turtle and the knights of the round table.
Hello everybody, you're listening to the Knights of the Round Table. It's pouring like cats and dogs outside. People are ringing the phone off the hook, and like I said, I don't have a crew running my show for me, so every time the phone rings, what I need to do is start putting the phones, all the phones and beepers and stuff like that, into a shoebox and shove them up under the bed with the duct tape and bailing wire that holds this radio show together. So... I'm on here still with the Honorable Knight of the Round Table, Jermaine Fishwick, and we have some pretty good conversations going on, and sooner or later, Justin, when he gets around, might be joining the show. Tried to add Raymond in here, but for some reason, Raymond didn't pick up, and he's got the Do Not Disturb sign on his Skype thing, man. So... The earth is flat, the earth is round, doomsday's coming around the corner, the chickens are trying to escape the coop, and it's an exciting world we live in, don't you think?
Yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, I'm sitting here out there talking to everybody, look, you know, I don't know if Planet X is coming around to blast us, but I'm not going to spend my time sitting here worried about it. I mean, if it does, what are you going to do? Huh. How are you going to stop Planet X? And those folks who think, well, I'll just dig me a big old bunker and live down inside the planet. Well, you're going to be down there for a while if you survive, which essentially you'll probably be part of a meteor that's flying through space. And the day you decide to come up to the top, you'll find out that you're on a rock floating through space because Planet X done blew it all up. So, you know, it's kind of like the worm in the apple, you know. And he's hanging in the trees, part of that system. But once that apple falls out of the tree and he rolls across... You ever seen that story about James and the Giant Peach?
No.
Essentially, James ends up getting inside this giant peach and he meets some worms that lived inside there or something like that. It's a pretty interesting story and they go on a journey and everything. But... anyway, that's kind of the example I was trying to put out there. But, yeah, so if you're inside the maze or part of the system in the Matrix there. One of the guys in the movie The Matrix said that there's those who would literally fight to the death to preserve the system that enslaves them. And I'm not that guy, you know. If somebody tells me something, I'm going to look into it. I'm gonna test it out, verify it, recheck the facts, and make sure that I proceed, you know, with an educated choice to whatever decision I make, to whichever direction I'm going from that point on. You know, it's like my personal spiritual beliefs. I don't force... You in there, Raymond? I heard that jet engine fire up.
Is that a spark?
He's there. I can hear his industrial strength air conditioner.
Yeah, right, sucker.
Hey, they say everything's bigger in Texas, man.
All right, let me take care of that industrial air conditioner.
So anyway, basically what we're talking about is, so I got to recap because Raymond showed up, is that... you know, there are people out there who will literally fight the system, fight to preserve the same system that's, you know, eating them alive. And so, you know, you go out there in the alternative energy community and stuff, and you got people out there just foul-mouthing and treating people like trash, telling you how stupid you are for questioning the laws of physics. I don't want to talk to the people who believe the laws of physics are written in stone, just like I don't want to... be part of the five monkey system that every time a new guy comes in, if he steps on the ladder to get the banana, all the other monkeys beat him down and don't even know why. I want to be the guy who is like watching, observing, paying attention to detail, sharing positive information, and looking for a way out of the chicken coop, if you understand what I'm trying to say.
I understand exactly what you're trying to say. The thing is, I just saw your video about 2 minutes ago of the physics toy, and you said you were going to make more of them, and I'm looking forward to them. I don't know what you guys have been talking about, because I just now got on, but I do know that I've watched your video, and I think it was really cool.
Well, we're kind of cool. We're kind of talking about that physics toy, because the average Joe... would have saw a balloon and a plastic bottle. What I saw was physics. I saw possibilities, you know.
Right. The thing is, you know, a question popped into my mind when you could not blow the balloon up because you had your finger over that hole.
Yeah.
What popped into my mind, well, what if I didn't blow it up with my mouth? I used an air compressor. Then all of a sudden, the bottle itself would have pressure in it equal to the balloon, and you could blow it up.
Well, yeah, if you could overcome
that. That's what I'm saying. Now, somewhere along the line, it dawned on me, I saw some teenagers playing with capacitors, and they overloaded them, and all of a sudden they blew up.
Yeah.
And I remember you telling me that you can't overload a capacitor to the point it can actually blow your fingers off.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so... really, you've got to have that hole there to release that pressure on one side so that you can get a minor pressure on the other side, right?
Yep. And the reason why I did that video was to try to get some explanation, some understanding of how energy transfers and how it can be stored. But there's multiple things that you can learn through that. If you actually think about electricity, you think about the electrical storage, energy storage, and pressure, and volume, and water, and all that, it's all the same physics. What you could learn from that one little bottle is mind-blowing. I mean, you saw that not only did the bottle work one direction, but it also worked in reverse as a vacuum that then, in turn, sucked water up inside that tube, and how whenever I was holding my finger over the top of that vacuum, that the balloon didn't go flat, even though the lid was unsnapped. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so it still had that pressure built inside there. So you can learn things from that to build new circuitry or whatever, but if you take this information and you put it out there to one of the five monkeys crew, they're going to beat you down. It's as simple as that. Because they've been told forever and a day, certain things aren't possible. And I don't know if you ever, if you read the description inside the deal, but if you heard me in the video, I offered him a fig leaf. Did you read the description?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, normally, it's an olive branch that symbolizes peace, right? And let me go find the video real quick there, and I'll read the description of it. But I'll have to stop it before the doggone commercial kicks on. Alright, well, anyway, I was being funny to my thumbs downers because, you know, they're always poking me, so I figured I'd give them a little poke.
Thomas is here with me.
Cool.
Listen, Wall Street. Alright,
so you got Jermaine?
Yeah.
Yes.
Chavez, Raymond, and Thomas.
Cool.
Alright, but he's hungry and fixing something to eat.
Alright, so anyway. I'm being phony in the description there, and basically, if you look at the description, it says funny notes the thumbs down are in the video. You hear me telling that I offered him a fig leaf, a physics toy, and the definition for fig leaf, as on Wikipedia, says a fig leaf is widely used figuratively to convey the covering up of an act of an object that is embarrassing or distasteful with something of innocuous appearance. So essentially, you know, they're always coming on their foul mouth of me and thumbing me down all the time, you know, and so I give them a fig leaf they can cover up their shenanigans, if you understand what I'm trying to say.
Amen, and I love it. Thank you. That is freaking fantastic.
So, I'm learning how to try to, you know, make the best out of a bad situation and get a good laugh out of something ignorant that people... You know, the Five Monkeys thing that Stephen Gibbons posted in there, it was brilliant. I don't know if you got a chance to see it or not, but it explains how, you know, they start off with five monkeys and then they change one out every so often until eventually none of the original five monkeys are there, but for some reason every time a new monkey shows up, if the new monkey steps on the ladder to go up to get the banana, they all run over there and beat him up. Well, that's the way pretty much government and society is nowadays, because you're told things in school to believe, you're told things by the government to believe. And if you question the norm, then suddenly you're a tinfoil hat nutcase. You believe in flat earth. I don't care if people believe the earth is flat or round. Personally, I don't care what shape it is. What I like about the debate is the fact that now everybody is questioning everything, you know. But what I don't like about it is all the foul-mouthing and fighting with one another about it. See, I like the open thinking, the free thinking, the debate, the science testing, and all that kind of stuff. As long as you come with a respectful debate and a test and facts and figures and stuff like that, I can respect that. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But
Thomas and I were discussing exactly what you're talking about yesterday.
Yeah?
Yeah. You know, stand-up comedians get away with all kinds of weird stuff, like putting their family down and talking about their fat mama and their oversized wife and their skinny uncle, and it's all funny, and everybody laughs. But if you got into an argument with a skinny uncle, and hey, toothpick, get over here, if that's not funny. You know what I'm saying? It's not so much what you're saying, it's why are you saying it.
Yeah. And there's a lot to say about intentions. You know, but, you know, we all talk about we want to make a better world, and that's why I put the video link in there to the preview of Chicken Run, because essentially that's what I feel like. I feel like that one chicken guy in there who wants to build the airplane and fly up over the fence and get out of where we're at to something better, you know? If I could literally grab everybody off the internet who had a brilliant free-thinking mind and move them over to an island where we all had resources and all that, and we could build our own world and our own community. I'd rather do that than have to sit here and listen to mainstream media lies and propaganda, and then the fact that people are buying into it and fighting with each other and rioting and doing all the stupid stuff, you know? I mean, it's like the example that I continuously give about saving the trees. You got a wooden stick, paper sign, and it says save the trees. It, to me, is counterproductive to your argument when you're sitting there with a wooden stick and a paper sign saying you want to save the trees. You see what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I would even give them a little bit more credit if they had like one of them recycled signs on the paper in the wood, you know, so at least they recycled the paper. Not go out and kill a brand new tree to make their sign to say save the trees. So, you know, I live my life by common sense, and you know, I don't see a whole lot of that. And when I finally find people like Jermaine and you and Thomas Raymond, that you know, and Stephen, you know, people that think outside the box and, you know, just full of good information. Your research and my research together, I can see us going somewhere and doing something with it, you know?
Hey, you hear anything over there?
Yeah, I hear the rain or the shower or whatever it is you're rattling.
Oh, I was hoping you would see my industrial air conditioner. My speakers are really that great. That rain is more than 20 feet away. And you can hear the hell that it's raining, not my industrial air conditioner.
Yeah, your industrial air conditioner sounds like a jet engine. That sounds like banging on a tin roof.
It is banging on a tin roof. It's rain banging on a tin roof.
See how we critically worked our way through that process?
Jeff, you have no idea how much. You got good ear. How much you shut the door? You don't hear it anymore, do you?
Nope.
Okay.
I heard him chirp over something, too.
Alright, we're playing with you. I mean, we're having fun. We love you. That's why we're doing it.
Well, I love you guys too, man. I'm glad you showed up. Justin was supposed to show up there in about 10 minutes, but maybe you got distracted out there.
Well, it was a pure accident that we came in late. We joked last night about throwing your ass under the bus, and not showing up at all, but then this morning we said, oh, well, let's go ahead.
Well, it's all right because Jermaine jumped in there, and him and I have had a really good conversation. He's a brilliant young man. You're still in school, right, Jermaine?
Yes.
He lives in Holland, and he's the one I told you about made that solenoid motor that really impressed me.
Oh, I remember that. Hey, Jermaine.
Hello.
Okay. Hey, when we do get off the air, I need to talk to you. I want you to send me links to your videos so I can watch them. All right?
Sure, yeah.
Hey, look, son, according to Shazam, you're a genius, and I want to acknowledge that and watch your videos.
Well, I tell you what, man, you don't get a lot of young people these days that are thinking like that and being creative. There's a one guy out there, Maker J101, I think it is.
Yeah.
Have you seen his video where he made the internal combustion engine out of stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah, I love the way that kid thinks, man. I'm telling you, and I would love to see more people. I wish they taught real science in school these days where you actually did hands-on experiments and stuff, but because of liability or whatever, they don't do that stuff. What do they do over there in Holland? Do they teach you real science in school, Jermaine?
No, we don't have a lot of projects going on. Maybe just some... measuring the boiling point of water of the melting ice. There's not a lot of science going on.
Yeah, see, that's a shame, man, because that's where... Go ahead.
No, that's too bad, because I want to learn fixed things, but if I can't...
There's something to be said about hands-on. You know, where you actually get to see the effects happening, you know. And just measuring the boiling temperature of water, you know, okay, that's good information, but what's going on in that process is that you're separating that water into steam, you know, and that's something that in physics you could actually use to turn turbines. So if they expanded on that and said, look, you know, this is the temperature you boil water at, but this is the temperature that water will flash into steam, and this is how much pressure you can get out of that. Now you got some educated kids who will think about that and say, well, you know, heck, I could build this with that, you know? And even if their idea didn't work, it would still get them into troubleshooting why it didn't work.
But I like the idea of squirting water into a hot engine.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I'm actually going to try to do a preheating system, kind of like the way that the diesel engines work with a glow plug.
Yeah.
And so a glow plug basically can get the cylinder hot enough to literally cause when the compression of the diesel is injected into there, and the compression heats it up yet even more. Diesel fuel burns. It doesn't explode like gasoline. And so if you could actually preheat that cylinder to 180 to 220 degrees and then injected that steam or that water into in a fine mist, then you could get that 1600 times the volume expansion that would push that piston back down. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So those are the kind of ideas that they should be teaching the kids in school, but they don't, you know? I want the kids to not just have to read the rule book or the what they say in school as, you know, what they teach in science. These are the certain laws of physics. This is how the universe works. And, you know, I want the kid that's going to ask why, how, you know what I mean?
But what I want is the teacher to tell his opinion, what he thinks about it.
Yeah.
Not just tell something about it's written in a book, but tell your...
I actually had thought about sometime if I would have took the time to figure out how to become a science teacher, I would have loved to teach science, because what I would have showed the kids inside there, I say, look, there's all kinds of people out there that believe perpetual motion is possible. There's all kinds of people who don't believe it's possible. And I would like to try to test that theory to see one way or another. You know, maybe it isn't possible, but maybe it is possible. And maybe in the process of doing this, you could take what would have normally not been a perpetual motion machine, but would have turned out to be a more efficient machine or a more efficient method to do a certain thing. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So, just like I said, I learned from the guy who faked the video on putting hiding a pump in there. I learned that, you know, hey, half the time this thing's working off of gravity on its own, so that pump only has to run half the time, and so now you just made a more efficient way to pump your hydroponic system. I think that's brilliant. What do you think?
I think it's good.
So, looks like my radio show's been crashed by my friend Justin. You want to say hi to everybody, Justin?
Hi, everybody!
My friend Justin, he's also into alternative energy research as well, and he's actually going to be trying to put together one of the old Bedini motors, and, you know, him and I, sometimes we sit around and we debate the possibilities of what can be done and what can't be done, and he points out things to me that help me with my science, and maybe sometimes, hopefully, vice versa, you know. So, you know, with that said, you know, we're a couple guys that think outside the box. You know, we don't believe everything that we're told by the government or the media or anybody for that matter. We're always with an open mind questioning everything out there. You know, like I said, I don't care whether the earth is flat, whether it's round, concave, convex, hollow, or whatever. I ain't never been high enough to see or deep enough to find out if the earth is hollow, so I couldn't tell you definitively and give you an honest answer and say, oh, well, yeah, it's definitely hollow, you know. I've been there, seen it. I haven't. So until I get that information in, I'm just going to say I don't care whether it's flat or round. I do like the debate, because as long as people are out there questioning the norm and talking with each other, you know, people are learning something. You see what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, Raymond, you got any thoughts on it, man? I think we need to harness the power of that industrial strength air conditioner you got with some piezoelectrics. You know, I bet that thing's vibrating the wall pretty good.
Actually, that's why Thomas is here.
Yeah?
Put on the cold steam turbine, and we're going to take the heat on the backside of the air conditioner to turn it into electricity.
Well, there you go.
Into the air conditioner. So that I can and when I set mine, then Thomas and I are going to get together and we're going to keep the world out of there.
How hot is that?
Well, we want to show the world that when you're taking energy and using it for a good thing, like air conditioning when the days are really hot, you're expending all this electricity that was generated by coal or natural gas or whatever or nuclear power. You're taking this energy, this electricity, and you're using it to run a pump to compress Freon and then release it after you've cooled it, and the only way you cool it, you get rid of the heat. So you take this Freon, this gas that sucks the heat out of the air in your building, you compress it outside till it gets really hot, and you release the heat outside. Now we're going to take that heat, which is exactly how they made the electricity we used the first time.
Yeah. You
turn it back into electricity and feed back into the air conditioner. And well, am I talking stupid?
No, stuff? No. You think that physics toy, that video that I put out there, that part of that concept could actually be used to cause a compression or pressurization of that gas?
Right. I love that video. I really, really love that video. That come closer to explaining to me what a capacitor is than anything else. Now, the thing is that I saw you release it, and the water that was, the air that you had, the time you did the air, and you put it down in the water and you released it to show the force that was trapped and stored in that balloon. Actually, dumped a lot of the water out of the container. So what tells me about a capacitor is it'll store a lot of energy. But if you release it all at one time, wow, look at that power. Now let's figure out how to release it slower on a capacitor. That would be a battery, right?
Well, what I like about that deal was that whenever you blow the balloon up inside there, and you keep your finger over that hole, even when you pop the nozzle, that balloon still stays expanded until you let go of that deal. And so,
wait a minute. Yes, exactly. Now, it's not a hole. Let's say it's a control valve where you could ease it open and let the air come in really slow, so the air in the balloon would come out really slow, and all of a sudden you get bubbles in that water.
So,
you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You need a capacitor to store the energy, but then devise some means of releasing that energy as you need it.
Well,
let her go.
Wow.
That's where like resistors come into play, to slow down. A resistor isn't nothing more than a valve.
All right. I want to see your physics toy on resistors.
Yeah. That's a good idea.
But what I'm saying is, okay, I see it, I believe it, it's real, but now let's control it. And you're saying that you control it with resistors? Great, that's fine. I don't know how the resistor works. I want to see your video on how resistors work. I want to see your physics.
You want to see a control valve that you put on the end of that thing that people can easily understand how the control valve is working while you open and close it.
Exactly.
You get a smaller and bigger hole to allow air to flow into it faster or slower.
Well, that's a good idea. See, now this toy just expanded. Now we're going to put a valve on the other end so that whenever you expand it, you can actually open the valve and make the balloon go flat slower.
A lot slower, so
yeah.
You can control it and then use that energy. Actually use it how?
Well, you could use that energy by, with the water or the wind, turn a turbine or whatever, and actually be able to generate a little bit of voltage while you're doing it.
Well, but let's just say, if you release it slower, all of a sudden you're going to have this stored energy of this compressed air bubbling up in water.
Yeah.
The water is not moving. Now all of a sudden you're putting pressure into the water and you're causing bubbles, and it's, and the water becomes energetic and starts vibrating.
Well, one of the things...
So then you put a magnet on a floaty, like a little kid on an inner tube, and it starts gyrating, and the kid's laughing his butt off. Because now all of a sudden he's moving around, where he was in still water.
One of the things we talked about yesterday on the Mad Science was isothermic compression of air. Well, right. Isothermic compression of air, when you compress that air through the water, it already cooled down. Normally compressed air gets hot. Well, this has already cooled down to the same temperature as the water. And so when it builds up in the pocket, and just like any other gas, whenever you get a sudden expansion of that gas, like letting it out a pipe, you get a cooling effect, just like you do when you pop a CO2 canister.
That's exactly what I'm talking about. I want to see your physics story explaining this, because that's really neat. I love it. I really love it. I want to see how you control. Okay, I know how to control the air pressure with a valve, so I can really ease it open. Now, how do we take a charged capacitor and just release that electricity really slow? You said a resistor, okay?
Yeah, basically a resistor.
I want to see the video or the physics story on a resistor, and then show how we put the resistor and the capacitor together.
How a resistor works.
You just started a whole new concept of videos, and I love it. Let's go.
All right, listen, Raymond. How a resistor works is the same way a valve works. A valve and a resistor. A resistor, you have to, the pressurized voltage actually has to overcome the resistance before the current can flow through that resistor. So if the resistor set up, let's say, to block, I'm just going to use voltage, for example. I'm not going to get into actual terminology of the resistor, but let's say it has to be at least 3 volts to overcome the resistance of this resistor, the pressure. Until that capacitor is pressurized to 3 volts or higher, then that there's no flow going on there. You see what I'm saying?
Yes, I do.
And so, by doing that, you can hook a capacitor to a resistor and then to an LED, and that's why the LED doesn't blow up, because it's slowing the voltage down and only allowing the 3 volts to go through that system to light the LED up without frying it. Otherwise, okay. There's too much power.
Right. Okay, I got it. But now we need to make a video for the other people out there as dumb as me. Am I stupid? Dumb.
Well, I fully intend on making a bunch more videos like that. I want to see what kind of response I get from this one here, because, you know, I put up with a lot of people talking a lot of smack every time I try to teach them something, and every one of these anomalies that I show them, you know, well, that's one of the things why I enjoyed Jermaine's his video about the what's the name of that video, Jermaine?
Solenoid motor.
Yeah, the solenoid motor. Is because a long time ago, I had a drawing of a 12-cylinder version of this. And I knew that it would work, and I knew that it would have torque. And here was a kid from Holland that made one out of recycled materials. And I could see the mechanics working in my head, and I knew that same mechanics was working in his head, and I knew that I was on the right track when I designed that motor. I even got a GIF animation to show you how this thing functions. But even as wobbly as his device was, because it wasn't made with precision bearings and all that, I could see past any flaw in the system, and I was excited because here's a young man that done went and built a solenoid motor that is actually functioning, and you can see because it's overcoming all the resistance that this thing seriously had some torque to it.
Right.
And so I was excited about it. I couldn't wait to comment on his video and share his YouTube channel around, hopefully get him some more subscribers, because I want to encourage him to continue to think like he does. You know? And this is what they should be doing in school. This is what they should be teaching the kids. They should be encouraging them to ask questions, not just soak it all up and take the teacher's word for it, you know?
Exactly.
There's two different sides of the story when it comes to global warming and climate change. And according to the rule book, the debate is over and it's all being resolved. And there's global warming and it's all man-made. Well, I say it's a hockahooey, and I've been saying it's a hockahooey for over 30, 40 years now. You know? Because the science just don't add up.
Jermaine.
Yes.
If Shaziz is excited about your video, I'm super excited. When this show is over, don't you leave until I get your YouTube ID and I can watch that video.
Well, Stephen posted it in the chat room. It's in the super chat HTML over there, Shaziz Radio. So you can jump on there and click right on it. It's already set for you. Anyway, it's brilliant, and he said he'd make a two-cylinder version of it. I want to see the 12-cylinder version. I want to see how far it can take it. See, all these ideas, every one of these ideas are only as good as how far you're willing to take them. And that's what I've been trying to point out to these people, okay? Like when I spun a hard drive motor up to 35,000 RPMs and was getting out over 100 and some odd volts out of this thing, and was able to run a LED strand of lights. Well, I got the wise guys to come in there and said, well, you had to use more energy putting in to get that. And then I'm like, you know, look, you just totally missed the point. The point is, if you take that hard drive motor apart and you look inside there, there's a real small ring magnet inside there and very little copper wire, but yet it was still able to put out 120 volts AC and even more the faster you spun it. So that one anomaly is a good piece of the puzzle that you can put over there in your toolbox for down the line, like the Venturi, being able to mix air, pressure, and water. As the water flows by, it creates a vacuum and sucks in air from the atmosphere. The Venturi effect not only works with water, but it works with electricity, such as right before the energy on the spark gap, before, like, let's say you're running a Van de Graaff generator and it's building up that static charge. Right before that charge literally leaps across the spark gap, you can feel an ion wind being created. It's sucking energy in from the surrounding area right before that punch. And if you've ever been out and had the displeasure of being too close to a lightning strike, even though you didn't get struck, you can feel the hair on the back of your neck start to stand up and that cool ion wind being generated as all that atmosphere rushes in to fill in that void that's being created. You see what I'm saying?
Yes, I do. I
can feel the wind if I am near a capacitor.
Yeah, exactly. Because you're creating a Venturi. Somebody was talking to me yesterday about cavitation, and they weren't talking about like the cavitation for spinning water. They were talking about the cavitation effect that has to do with how the magnetic flux lines surround magnets and how you can manipulate that. Well, if you look at a magnet under magnet paper, you'll see lines of flux being generated there. What you don't see is what's actually occurring there. There's actual motion occurring in a magnet. You can't see it, but it's going around in circles and working its way towards the center. If you could get down to the microscopic or the smallest of how that's actually function, and be able to understand how that magnet is able to hold that power and be able to do what it does, you'd have the holy grail of free energy right there in your hands. You see what I mean? But if you're just saying, oh no, the magnet's static, it don't move. You know, you have to move the magnet to get anything done. Maybe you don't have to move the magnet to get anything done. Has anybody ever thought of that? You see what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Like, I'm starting to.
You can get work done with a stationary magnet by hanging something on your refrigerator. Okay, now it's just hanging on the side of your refrigerator. And it'll hang there for years unless somebody knocks it off. So you're actually getting work done. You're physically holding an object up in the air, like these flashlights that they use for automotive, where you got a magnet on the end, you can stick it to the hood of your car, and it holds the flashlight up. So what energy is literally holding those two together? You see what I mean?
Now, I like that scenario. I really do. I like that explanation.
They say there's no such thing as perpetual motion. I say there is such thing as perpetual motion, and it's already been proven by the magnet. Now you just say, well, there ain't no motion going on there. Well, in reality, if you could stretch that magnet out from here to China, you'd see a bunch of electrons, protons, and neutrons doing their thing, and they may not even be like connected to each other. They're moving around. Something is occurring in that magnet. There is motion occurring in there, but that force is opposite of the same force that you use to stick it to the your metal of the refrigerator, you know. Basically, diamagnetic, paramagnetic, and so on. You know, all these have different interactions with each other, and so there is actually a force going in there, like the basic force that bismuth has, you know. Bismuth doesn't necessarily block out the field, but it can redirect the field. So using those things in conjunction with each other, they get magnetic levitation.
May the force be with you. If you don't believe in it, it won't.
Yeah, and so this is the kind of science that here on Mad Science Show and the Knights of the Round Table, this is the kind of thinking that I want to encourage, and that's why I stick it out through all the trolls and the hassles, you know, and the duct tape and bailing wire that it takes to hold this show together, because I want to bring these free thinkers to the table to troubleshoot the problems of the world, and together we can do it, you know, like Thomas is always saying. If you want to get anything done in your community, you network. That's the key. You find other people in every community. You got a carpenter, you got an electrician, you got, you know, somebody who can frame in a house, a roof a house, a plumber. You put all these guys together and you build a house. You know, if I built a house by myself, yeah, I mean, it might stand up, but ask my friend Justin about my carpentry skills. He stood on that wobbly deck that I built out back and said, no, this is coming down one way or another. He said, I want to build a better one. Because,
hopefully without now that I sign it.
Yeah, without us standing on it. Because, you know, my carpentry skills, like I cut one board and I'd use that one board for a pattern and I'd draw a line. Well, in the process of doing that, the next board might just be a fraction of a centimeter longer than the next one after that. If I didn't cut it right on the right side of the line, you know, and it'd be in a big crooked. They look the same size, but they're not.
Hey,
yeah.
Get the sheet metal worker, okay?
Well,
metal workers can make ductwork that can transfer the air that you just cooled off from one end of the house to the other. But yep. You only cooled it off at this end. And now the sheet metal workers can make ductwork that take that cool air and move it down to the other end of the house. We're transferring energy, aren't we?
Yeah, and the guy that understands...
His record is we're transferring a lack of energy, aren't we?
The guy that understands insulation can help improve that process by ensuring that there ain't no losses in the system because
exactly.
It's insulated.
Exactly. And that's what you've just been talking about. If we get enough people together to network, like Thomas said, if we get enough, then all of a sudden, and nobody's stupid, everybody is ignorant of the other person's trade. But yep. We all work together and we all understand that, duh, I know this, but... What do you know? Well, that's what I like you with the video. Oh, Lord, I love that video. Because you understand, professors. I don't. I want to. But you made that video that helps me understand a little more and a little bit better about it. And that's why I'm asking questions, because you understand it. And I don't.
Yeah.
But you made me understand it a little bit better. And I saw the power. I saw the energy. And I saw it, how it was stored. But then you read, boom! Oh, that was fun! I'm not a little kid. I want to know how we can release it and make it do work.
Yep, and there's other concepts. You can add the Venturi effect. You can add the Tromp hammer. You can add the ram pump. All these concepts of physics of how they actually function. to assist each other. You know, my friend Justin here, he's a cabinet maker, and you wouldn't believe the craftsmanship, the work that he does. He has all the proper tools to make cabinets and stuff like that. So if I ever have any questions of how to do something with wood, or, you know, even other subjects that he's pretty well versed in, I got him that I can ask questions to, and vice versa. You know, if he got some idea that he's working on, we share that information. You know, by ourselves, we can do some pretty impressive things. But together, we can do some amazing things. That's what I've been trying to point out all along. You see what I mean?
I see exactly what you mean. And that's why I brought up the fact that I'm an ex-retired chief metal worker, and the air conditioning man could build the air conditioner that could take the heat out of the air and make it cool. Yeah. I know how to move it from this spot to that spot, but in order to do that, I had to collaborate with the air conditioning guy, the guy that actually understood. And then that's how I come up with the idea of the cold steam turbine.
Well, you know, heat rises, and you know that because of the experience that you've been doing with that. What I don't understand is why people haven't made recirculating vents, because if you ever stood on, like, say, a bunk bed, you know that the ceiling, it's hotter than heck up there on the top bunk, and it's cold down at the bottom.
Right.
Why haven't people figured out that they could vacuum that heat off the top and recirculate it down to the bottom by building something as simple as a ductwork with a fan at one end or the other to circulate that heat to rotate it around your house, not horizontally, but vertically? You see what I mean? And we're just talking about, you know, reusing the same energy over and over again. You see what I mean?
Isn't that what a ceiling fan does?
Well, yeah, I guess a ceiling fan would work for the process, but I'm saying something that if you ain't got a ceiling fan installed, you got this nifty gizmo you can prop up in your corner, and you can bring the cold air off the ground, throw it up to the ceiling, and push that hot air down.
You know, years ago, before people got really smart and they were really dumb, like maybe 50 or 100 years ago, they used to do just that. They would take their wood stove, and they built really high ceilings, so when the air in the room got warm, it would go up toward the ceiling. So they had high ceilings. So the warm air would go up, the cool air would come in through the windows, and it would keep the room cool, but you had to get rid of that warm air. So that wood stove that they had to have a long pipe going up, so they would shut the door on the wood stove, and they had it was a vent. It was backdraft damper. That's the correct word. Backdraft damper.
Yeah.
Air heated up, he would try to go out, leave the room, but he couldn't because he was trapped in the ceiling. All of a sudden, this pressure of this hot air trying to go up, this pressure would open that backdraft damper, and the hot air just right up the chimney and out. And when it left, it would lessen the pressure in the room, and more cool air would come into the windows, which back in those days, the windows went all the way down almost to the floor, like 6 inches above the floor. And the cool air from the shady trees around the house would come in.
Yeah. Well, see, that guy that I talked about that lives in...
dumb or stupid as we thought they were.
You know what? Go look at Thomas Jefferson's house, Monticello.
Did you hear him?
No, what did he say?
He said, go look at Thomas Jefferson's house in Monticello.
Right.
They did all that.
So, essentially, basically, we... It's a common sense problem, as far as I can see. You know, Stephen posted that deal in there about the five monkeys and how eventually nobody knew why they were beating this new monkey up every time he stepped on the ladder to get the banana. But that's essentially what's going on out here in the energy communities, the world in general. is that everybody has been, you know, pretty much dumbed down to the extent where they'll believe whatever they're told unless it sounds plausible and some from out some person thinking outside the box can literally get through that mess and explain it to them. You understand what I'm trying to say here? Yellow, I must have lost you. I'm going to add Justin in here. If I can get him in there.
There's two or three people in here that I can't see.
Anyway, basically what I was trying to say is that between the education system, between all the knuckleheads out there, you know, preaching the laws of physics as if they were the gospel, and basically being one of those five monkeys, you know? I know what the book says, and there ain't nothing else besides the book. And those aren't the people I want to talk to. I want to talk to the people who says, well, it doesn't work, but this is why it doesn't work, and I think this is a way that we could get around it if you could only overcome this effect right here. You see what I mean? Like, why not keep saying about, you know, if you don't want to invoke Lenz's law, then don't invoke Lenz's law. You know, take that energy, move it off to a different form, a different state of matter, and then turn it back in on the other side where it's way away from that generator where you never invoke Lenz's law. Is that generator still going to produce as much energy even when it's not under load as it does when it's just sitting there free spinning? It's still producing energy. And that energy is looking for a place to go. Once you send that energy down the line, you send it through a light bulb, well, it's going to make a loop right back into the same generator you're trying to pull the power off of and cause that lens effect to take a place and create a second field that's going to start slowing down the armature like a brake. And so you know that's going to happen. So why not take that energy off of that generator that you want, move it into a completely different form of energy, then transfer that energy back to another form that you can use to run inverters on the other side. Who cares if the inverter's under load? It's only going to take what it gets from system anyway, and it's not going to create no back EMF all the way back to the system because it's impossible for the electron flow to make it back through that mess. That is why the Mercury arc rectifier worked back in the late 1800s. It was a diode, man. It was a pressurized diode. That's all it was. What they didn't understand, what they actually had access to in those days was a plasma reactor. And the type of plasma I'm talking about isn't that hoodoo voodoo version that Kesh used after peddling everybody and telling you gotta love your reactor, otherwise if you're a jerk, you don't get no free electricity. You know? This is actual fourth state of matter where you energize gas into plasma, visible light, visible heat, that in turn can be, it's all energy. It's the same amount of energy you started with. And out the other side, according to their own laws of physics, energy can neither be created nor destroyed. And even if you factor in all the losses that occur, like say in the internal combustion engines, you didn't lose nothing. You didn't use what was wasted. But you didn't lose nothing because that energy that motor produced, you produced a massive amount of heat that you had access to that you could have took that heat off of there, boiled water with it, used thermoelectrics or whatever to make that engine more efficient.
Piezoelectrics.
Yeah, piezoelectrics for the vibration. That's what Justin just said. You know, your muffler's down there rattling all the heck. Why not put a piezoelectric or a Peltier element on there and grab some of that vibration and heat off of it and transfer that energy where you want it?
I just seen somebody doing that. They're taking their exhaust and making it all piezoelectrics and pulling electricity off it.
See that? Are you guys still there or did I lose you?
No, we were having a private discussion. We didn't want anybody else to listen in to.
Oh.
Look, we don't have secrets over here. It's just we didn't want to interrupt.
Ah. All right, well, anyway.
Everything you guys are saying, we're listening to, and you're 100% correct. I mean, wow.
So we can get past the mentality of folks out there being afeared of all the crazy going on out there in the world, you know, and basically, heck, if doomsday's on the way, let's all get together and build an ark for Pete's sake. Heck. to boldly go where no man has gone before. The aliens did it. They did it on Star Trek. Why don't we do it? I asked my wife if I took some old hot water heaters and built a rocket if she wanted to go to the moon with me, and she says, nope. In no uncertain terms. It was just straight out no. So, you in there, Justin?
Yep, I'm in here.
Yeah, the other Justin. This one here is in Canada. Justin, you got your microphone on, you're live.
Hey, Papa's not back out of here for about 15 minutes. We're not going to go anywhere. I mean, we're going physically, but we're going to stay live on the radio.
Okay? All right, we'll be here when you get back.
We got to run to the store for just a minute, but it only take 15 minutes. We'll be right back.
Wear your seatbelt.
All right, timing, I'm far off the mic so that you don't hear my industrial air conditioner.
All right, Justin, are you there? If you are, I see your picture, but I don't hear your mic.
Yeah, I'm here.
Have you heard any of the conversation?
No. I've been busy running around doing laundry and stuff. It's Sunday. I got school tomorrow, so get everything done, right?
So, Jermaine, you still in here?
Yes.
All right, so try to recap shortly. Basically, Stephen Gibbons posted a video in there called The Five Monkeys and explains how, you know, after a certain period of time, you keep replacing the monkeys, but every time the monkeys come in, it started off when the monkeys first come in, and one of them climbed up to get the banana off the ladder, all the other monkeys would get hosed down with cold water. Well, then pretty soon the monkeys started beating up anybody to get on that ladder. Well, then they'd replace another monkey in there, and so after a while, all these monkeys would beat up the new guy every time he went to try to get the doggone banana off the ladder. And so this process continued until none of the original monkeys were in there anymore, but it would they would all beat up anybody who went on that ladder. They didn't know why. They just knew that that was the thing that they do. And so essentially, that society has pretty much replicated that in all different factions, such as in school and government and basically society in general. Is that, you know, there's certain beliefs in society that, you know, laws of physics are written in stone, or, you know, if you do this, the government's going to get you, you know. And a lot of people won't go into alternative energy because they don't want to fight with regulations or government or anything like that. Yet on one side of their neck they preach how we got to get into clean renewable energy, where out the other side of the neck they write rules and regulations to discourage anybody from resolving that issue. It's the same concept of save the trees with a wooden stick and a paper sign while you're out there protesting. It don't make no sense. And where that extra monkey that wasn't in there yet, but we saw in there before we got in there what was going on, and now we're out here shouting it to everybody, look, man, maybe y'all don't want to pay attention to what's going on here. Y'all kicking everybody's butt because you believe the man, and you believe you're going to get hurt. You understand what I'm saying there? That's a short recap. Are you still there?
Why are we hypocrites, is what you're saying? All of us?
You give yourself...
Why do we lie to our children? Why do we tell them about the... You know, we deliberately say there's Santa Claus and the fairy tale, you know.
You give yourself too much of the blame. You see, you call us hypocrites when the majority of the population out there don't know any better. This is the way that they were taught. This is the way that they believe. And so they can't be hypocrites when they don't know that there was ever a choice outside the deal. You know, why the monkeys kept beating up the guy who kept stepping on the ladder, because that's what they were taught through the entire system by the first initial set of monkeys were getting hosed down.
You like your movies, right, Jesus?
Sometimes, if they got educational value to them.
You ever watched the movie The Fifth Element?
I don't think so.
Oh, you should watch it. There's a girl, her name's Lulu. Lulu is a primitive worker. There's all kinds of this stuff about it in the Bible.
Anyway, what's the point?
That's what we are. We're cattle. for sheep, right? That's what federal government means.
Well, I say
federal
I
is field. It's feudalism.
I submit that you believe that you're a sheep, so that you in you are a sheep. I personally refuse to be a sheep, so I'm not going to be one.
But I don't know. I don't.
It's just like all this other stuff about secret societies and governments being out of control. You know, it's only that way because people allow it to be that
right.
way.
That's why I take all the blame.
I don't give society the power over me because I won't conform to what they say is normal, all right? And I won't say that we can't because, well, if you try this, the government's going to get you. If you step out of line, the government's going to get you. I don't fear the government in that sense, all right?
There's no reason to fear the government.
Well,
if you live by don't do any harm, then what are they going to do? Lock you up? Okay.
Essentially,
thanks for the food. Go ahead, charge me. When you get rid of the fear, then they can't do nothing, right? You've walked off the plank and they've actually fallen.
That's right, but see, you still put yourself in the same line of the cattle. You still said that all we are is cattle. Maybe in their mind, all we are is cattle. Maybe that's what they try to use us for. But guys like me, I ain't gonna be cattle, alright? And I will fight to my last dying breath to fight the system, period. So I'm not going to fear the system. I'm not going to choose call myself cattle or believe in... I'm not going to live my life with a defeatist attitude that says that all we are is cattle, my vote don't count, I'm going to get out there and I'm going to do whatever I believe that is even remotely possible to buck the system. I'm the one rocking the boat, man. You see what I'm saying?
Uh-oh. Chavez is making a coup.
That's right. I don't believe the laws of physics are written in stone.
Well,
what about physics?
What about physics do you want to talk about? Like, let's get rid of the psychosis, the government. Let's just, like, avoid that. And what do you want to do?
I don't want to talk
what
about
is your, what
That's
is your,
the key.
What do you feel that your obligation, your self-obligations, are to do?
I'm not obligated to do nothing or be anywhere. All I feel like is I chose to take this path in life to where I try to make this world a better place because of what I've been told that this world is and what I've been showed. You know, if somebody's starving in the world, I want to do or say something that's going to send a ripple that way to put some food in that person's belly. You know, if they're homeless, same thing. So I do what I do because I choose to do it, not because I have to or because I'm in fear of something. You know, and that's why I always speak out against the way the mainstream media acts and the propagandizing. And you know, it's a dog and pony show that a lot of people subscribe to. They call themselves cattle. You know, I don't subscribe to that. I'm not cattle. I refuse. I'm not a racist. I'm not cattle. I'm just me. And I want everybody else out there to be them, you know. I need Justin to be Justin and Raymond to be Raymond and Jermaine to be Jermaine and so on down the line because you got something to offer the world. You got knowledge that you've acquired through your research and your life, and together we can resolve issues as they come along because maybe I hadn't seen what you saw at a certain point in time. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But I'm not going to let the government rule my life and my brain. Maybe there's certain aggravations that I got to deal with, but I'm not going to let them be the fear mongers that control my choices. That's what I'm trying to point out to the rest of the world. It's like the movie Chicken Run. If you decide to get up out the doggone deal, don't give up until you get out the doggone deal. Period. You know? And you got people inside there, and no matter what community you're in, you have resources available to you. You're a resource. Raymond's a resource. Buddy's a resource. Thomas is a resource. Jermaine's a resource. Stephen Gibbs is a resource. You see what I mean? By ourselves, we can talk all the high-tech terminology and discuss all the the craziness of the government, whether the earth is flat or round or concave or convex or a hologram, the moon is a spaceship or hollow or whatever, you know, none of that gets nothing done, you know, and I don't subscribe to it. So basically I take it, I'll make a little physics toy, I'll show people how something functions and let them take that idea and run with it. That's how you get things done. You know, you said it yourself. You lead by example. You teach by example. You show people how to do things. Once they learn how to fish, then they can feed themselves. Do you agree or disagree?
I agree.
Well, that's the whole point of the Knights of the Round Table. It's coming to the table to bring some good ideas out there. You know, if you got a new theory on how things work, I'm up to hear it. I love to hear new ideas. Anything thinking outside the box. But don't tell me that I'm wrong in what I believe, because right now, like I said, Big Bang Theory or creation. Was you there? Was I there? No, neither one of us could prove or disprove how either way it happened there. I don't care whether you believe in a God or don't believe in a God, or whether it was all an accident or aliens from outer space. I couldn't care less how it happened. And sooner or later, we're going to figure it out. But in the process, I want to get things done while attempting to at least enjoy this life that we've found ourselves in. I look out to this world and I see possibilities, you know. I see beauty, I see possibilities, I see, you know, an anomaly when I'm watching a alternative energy video. And I say, well, look, that gear right there would cause this gear right here to spin faster, or vice versa. My brain works mechanically, and so that's how I see things, that's how I discuss things. When it comes to free energy, there ain't nobody in this world is ever going to convince me, I don't care how hard they try, that energy's not free, because I see what the earth can do. If you stop the earth doing what it does, I won't believe in perpetual motion either. And so, you know, with that said, I'll stop my research the moment this earth stops. Because I know that the earth is a thermal electric generator, a biosphere, self-contained biosphere of epic proportions, and used properly could feed and house and clothe every single man, woman, and child on this planet. And there ain't no reason to be fighting over oil. There ain't no reason to be fighting over resources or nothing like that, because this earth has more than we could use in a trillion lifetimes. Everybody keeps on coming out and saying, oh, you're going to run out of fresh water. We're going to run out of oil. There's an energy crisis and all this kind of jazz there. When in reality, the earth, if it was a billion years old, has been doing the same exact thing over and over and over again. You will always have crude oil. You will never, ever, ever run out of crude oil unless you take all the carbon-based life forms away from that system and nothing ever dies again and there's nothing to replenish it. But all day long, every day, something or someone is dying, which is getting absorbed back into the system. The same chemistry that was going on back then is going on now. You still have lightning going off. You got earthquakes, friction heat. You got thermal heat according to how they describe the Earth's core. You got heat coming from the sun, radiant energy, radiation. You got wind power. You name it. You put all this stuff together and everything being shook up, mixed up, all the chemistry being, you mix this chemical with that chemical and that chemical and you got peanut butter or a doggone chocolate chip cookie, whichever one you like the most. You mix that particular ingredient. That's all we've been doing. And there ain't nothing that mankind has ever designed that nature can't take back. If you ain't using it, nature will take it back. That's all there is to it. Plain and simple. What do you think? No? Yeah? Oh, be back in a few, huh? Alright, so Jermaine, I guess if you're still there, it's just you and me now.
Yep.
So what do you think about what I said there, man?
I think you're the only one I know who has an open mind.
Well, there's others like us out here, Jermaine. It's up to us to find them, bring them all together to the table, and resolve issues, because a little wisdom and a little effort will go a long ways when you want it to.
Yeah.
That's why, like, I was so excited when I first saw your video. I mean, maybe to you or maybe to others, that might not have been that big of a deal, that machine that you put together, the solenoid motor. But to me, I saw somebody out there that took an idea from just an idea in their head to an actual physical working model, even if it was wobbly. It worked, you know? And that's the kind of thinking that I like. That's what I want to encourage. And so if you got friends out there, encourage them to be free thinkers. Encourage them to go out there and study and research and design, man, because science can be fun.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can do a lot of cool stuff with science. Matter of fact, if you're into magic and stuff like that, you know, like magic shows, there's a lot of science behind that. There's a lot of physics. There's a lot of mechanical engineering that goes into magic tricks. You know, how to get a whole bundle of flowers up inside a magic wand, you know, or a rabbit out of a hat, you know.
Mm-hmm.
All that kind of stuff. And so, essentially, that's what we're doing. We're pulling rabbits out of the hat using what we've learned from the laws of physics and basic science. And I don't want people out there discouraging that kind of thought. If somebody's out there trying to beat the laws of physics, encourage them to attempt it. Even if it's going to end in failure, by the time they get to the other end and they finally give up and say, look, I've tried this for 20 years and I still can't get it to work. You know? It's that one guy like you, Jermaine, that's going to come along and say, but in that 20 years, did you ever put this over there with that? And he'll say, no, I never did, but that's brilliant. And he does it, and the doggone thing starts to work.
But in the 20 years, you have found ways that didn't work, so you try new ones.
Yeah.
But you know, these configurations with these parts of these things together, they don't work, so you try different combinations or different things to make it work.
Yep, and then if somebody comes to you and asks you, because of how far you are into your research, hey, have you ever tried this? Yeah, I did, and this is the after effect right there, and the only way you could overcome that is if you do this over here. You just become a teacher, man. You see what I mean? The kids in your class that aren't up to standard, you could sit there and explain to them how electricity works, just like explaining how water works, because now you've heard us talk about it, right?
Yeah.
And the school book don't say that electricity works like water, you know? If they explain plumbing and electricity, you know, water, pressure, current, volume, voltage, and such, you know, and put it all in a basic format to where your average Joe can understand what's going on. You
mm-hmm.
know? Physical toys like that physics toy that I showed, you know, made out of a bottle and a balloon. What's going on there? You explain to them how it works with vacuum and pressure and that. And once they got that in their brain, they could take that one little anomaly and make a better pump. You know,
but
to pump water.
They need to look beyond what's actually what's happening.
Exactly. And I'm glad you said that, because that's what I've been trying to say to people forever and a day. Look past the anomaly. Look past the flaws in the system. And think about what could happen if you precisionally made this on a milling machine to where these bearings were so perfectly balanced that it didn't have near the friction losses or anything like that. How efficient could you make this machine? And then from that point on, what could you do to expand that machine?
Or improve it.
Man. Yeah. That's what I'm up for, man. I'm trying to get the people to the table at the Knights of the Round Table. We know there's problems out there in the world. There's people out there that are starving. There's people that are dying in war zones. How do we resolve this? How do we get the information to them on how to feed themselves, how to clothe and water? You know, all this information, think about this, Jermaine. I don't know exactly how old you are, but think about this for a second. In your entire lifetime, and you've seen all the problems out there, and you've seen all the possible solutions, and tried to tell as many people as you could what you think would be a possible solution for that. How much has been resolved in your lifetime? But do you think that with everything we've been given right here, that if we all came together with all of our information and research, that we couldn't fix this world?
Yeah.
We could do it.
Everything's possible.
We could stop the doggone wars, you know? We need all these countries to be, you know, we need Russia to be Russia, China to be China, Holland to be Holland, and so on and so forth.
We need everyone to work together.
Yeah. We need all these cultures to actually come together, put their differences aside, resolve issues. That's one of the reasons why I like some of these apocalyptic videos, such as like Independence Day or one where the meteor is coming down to impact the Earth. It's not that I like to see the gloom and doom where, you know, everybody's dying or anything like that. But what inspires me the most about those types of videos is to see when the people in the videos rise to the occasion and they come together to help one another out, and they solve problems, and they save lives, and they get it. At that point in time, they get it. It should not take a tragedy in order to bring a world together and get things done.
Yeah.
That's where I stand. That's what the Knights of the Round Table represent. So let's not let our world become a tragedy. You know, if the Big Bang theorists are right, and we've evolved from monkeys, and we made it this far, or there's been multiple civilization after civilization that always got advanced and killed off themselves, and we're just repeating the cycle over again. This has got to be the time when we stop repeating the same doggone mistakes and start moving into the future and see how far we can actually take mankind in this world, and see how efficient, how loving, and just how amazing that we could be with what we've been given.
Yeah.
That's a lot to say, man.
Yeah.
But if we took a news it all to its fullest extent, there ain't no excuse for anybody to do without, man.
Mm-hmm.
There ain't no excuse for people to be sick when we got the knowledge on how to do things. You're talking about manipulating the gene, you know, or whatever, bioengineering stuff. And if you got that kind of knowledge to that point, then you should be able to at least solve the problem of the common cold.
Yeah.
You know, why does people get the common cold? How many years has this got to go by that people got to die from stupidity before we get our act together? In my mind, it's simple. I can't do it without you. I can't save the world without all the rest of you. I can shout it to all four points of the compass from every mountain top that I can get my feet to stand on. And if I ain't got the ears to listen and the people that were willing to stand beside me and work it out, then we aren't never going to get nothing accomplished. We're still going to have the same old politics. We're still going to have the same old wars. We're still going to have the same old problems. And at some point in history, in the future, our society will implode. We're peeing and pooing in our own fishbowl, and there ain't nobody cleaning house. And so eventually, you know what happens to the goldfish, right?
Yeah.
Yep. Somebody gonna be having a moment of silence for us. You know? I would rather not have to cry over our fallen soldiers. I would rather be excited that our soldiers, instead of out fighting one another, were out helping feed the hungry and so on, you know. If we can amass armies to go from one country to the next to bomb them into the Stone Age, then why couldn't we amass that same strength and power to go past the doggone pirates and the corruption and walk that food and hand a sandwich right directly to the hungry?
Yeah.
You see what I mean? If I was bringing you lunch and I had a massive standing army walking me in there, do you think that you would get that sandwich? Nope. There's something to be said. if you're going to use power for the right, then you're going to be justified on the other side. If you're going to use it for the wrong, then you got to expect, you know, like in the laws of physics, for every action is an equal and opposite reaction, according to them. But I say the more good you put out there, the less bad it's going to be out there. What do you think?
I think it's true.
That's the best way I can explain it, and that's all coming from the knowledge of the 50 years of my life. You know, I don't know everything there is to know. I want to know more. Can't hold any more information in my head, but, you know, if I got your skills and Justin's skills and Raymond's and Thomas, and we're all working together as a team to get things resolved, it's going to benefit not just us, but the rest of the world. I would say that's a worthy cause, wouldn't you?
Yeah, but there are people in the world with ideas to make the world a better place, but they only need the help from others.
Yep.
And that's the thing.
That's where I say you got to start supporting those people. If you see somebody in alternative energy and you believe in what they're doing, you know what we've been told by the government and the mainstream media, the planet's doomed because of global warming / climate change / climate disruption or whatever it's going to be next week when the math don't add up. Regardless, they said there's a need. We're standing there. We can give them exactly what they're asking for. We can eliminate the use of what they call fossil fuels all day long. We can eliminate that with other devices and technology that work in harmony with nature. So why are they fighting against us and trying to troll our channels and doing that kind of stuff? If there really is a need and we really got to save the planet, all they're doing is hindering their own safety. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Hey, I'm sorry, fellas, but the Scream Team is back. We just got back from the store. I caught something you said as I was walking in, so I don't know what all you were talking about, but you said something about you didn't know this, and you just want to learn more, and this, that, and the other. And we've discussed this before about the difference between stupid and ignorant. Now, the thing is, I'm 72 years old. I've tried very, very hard to learn things. The problem I have with that is not really a problem. It's a situation, and that is, the more I learn, the more I learn just how ignorant I really am, and the more energy I put forward to trying to learn more, but yet the more I learn, the more ignorant I am, because there's so much to learn, much new information out there.
Yeah, but check this out, Raymond. Yeah. It's a humbling experience and a good experience to understand that you don't know everything there is to know. I mean, the life out there, if you knew everything that there was to know about everything under there, if you had the knowledge of how this world and how the universe and all that stuff was created, there'd be nothing left to do. And if you knew it all, then there wouldn't be no need for anybody else out there other than maybe like for sheep or slaves or whatever, or cattle, as Justin said. You know, and I don't want to live like that. You don't want to live like that. And so I don't want to know it all. I want to be able to go to my friend Raymond and ask him, hey, man, do you know how to hook these LED lights up instead of the fluorescents? You know, I know you know how to do that.
I know how to build the power to hook them to, but I do know somebody that does know how to hook them up. You've got them. I know how to build power, and I know somebody that knows how to hook them up. And you know somebody that knows how to get the power to make them run. So if we get together, we'll get it done. It's just that simple. I mean, if you know everything, like you were trying to say, if you know everything, then you are the stupidest person on the face of this earth. Because stupidity is the ability not to be able to learn. So anyone that thinks he knows, or she knows everything, has got to be the stupidest person on earth, because they can't possibly learn. You can't learn if you know everything, because there's nothing left for you to learn.
Well, if we're standing in the world having this conversation, then you don't know everything there is to know, or you just don't care because you ain't fixed it. If you got all the answers, and this world is still in the shape it's in?
You don't know. Stupid means you know everything.
Stephen Gibbons posted in there, people who say it cannot be done should not interrupt those who are doing it. George Bernard Shaw.
There you go. There you go. Say that again. One more time.
He said, people who say it cannot be done should not interrupt those who are doing it. George Bernard Shaw.
No joke. 100%. I got to remember that.
Yeah.
I love it. I love it. Those that believe it cannot be done need to get out of the way of the people that are doing it.
Yeah, that's exactly it, man. You know, here tonight's the round table. We've had many passionate, heated debates. We've lived, laughed, loved, cried, whatever, you know. We've went through every range of emotions talking about everything out there in society, and it all comes back to the same exact thing. None of us can do any of this. None of us can fix this world by ourselves, but all of us could fix this world together. That's all there is to it, you know. Each one of us is just a gear, a piece of the puzzle in this whole deal. And if there was a divine power that created all this and put us down here for a reason, I would think that that reasoning would be that we would be working together to accomplish, to see how far that we as humanity could actually go. What do you think?
Yep, I love it.
So, you guys must be like busy banging around on stuff in your lab there.
We are. We're inventing.
Well, I'm going to encourage you to keep on going. All that, listen, folks, listening to the show out there, all that clangs and bangs, that's Raymond and them over there getting work done. They're what do you call that? You're working two things at one time. Multitasking.
Multitasking, yeah.
They're on a radio show making racket in the background and getting things done. That's how we do it over here. Duct tape, bailing wire, and whatever, man.
You know, we talk and talk and talk. Now it's time to get off our butts and do something. That's exactly what Thomas and I are doing.
Well, you and me and Thomas and everybody else who's out there working in their communities and building and doing videos and talking on radio shows, we are off our butts and doing things. I come out here because there are 9 billion people on the planet. And I'm trying to recruit more people to think outside the box. I'm saying, you know how you're always complaining how it's hot inside that box or crowded? Well, step out here. There's a cool breeze and there's plenty of space. And we're getting stuff done. That's the point. So anyway, folks, we're down to the wire, and I know some of us are really super long-winded, not excluding myself, because when I get on a roll, sometimes I just can't shut up. That's so much to say. So now we need to go around the table real quick before it's time to end this broadcast and let everybody have their last thoughts. So who wants to go first? Anybody? No? Justin, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
You got any last thoughts about all the madness of the world and how we can resolve it?
No.
So you're just going to sit back and wait and see what happens and cross the bridge when you get there or what?
To me, it doesn't really matter what happens. I'm on my own set path and it's really irrelevant.
Well, hopefully you can.
It is what it is. Like, you know, drop it and walk away. Progress. Do what I need to do. Right.
Yep. And I wish you all the best on your journey through life, and hope everything works out for you, and hope you help some people on the way, and we all get this stuff resolved. So, what about you, Raymond? Raymond, you there?
What'd you say?
You got anything last to say? We're getting ready to shut it up.
I got so much to say, we don't have enough time to hear it. So we'll discuss it in the next show.
All right. Well, he's going to reserve his
The next show we have, Thomas and I will have been together 24 hours a day, a whole week. We're going to have a lot to say.
Cool. So we're looking forward to that conversation, and he's going to reserve his till the next show and share all the research and studies that him and Thomas have done together in their adventures. And so, Jermaine, that leaves you. You got any last thoughts on the matter?
Nothing is going to happen if you're alone.
Say that again?
No, you can't better the world if you're alone.
I agree.
Here, he has something to say.
There's two more listeners.
Drop a bomb. What are we going to say?
All right, so basically, folks, that's pretty much it, you know. Like Jermaine said, we're not going to be able to do this by ourselves. We're not going to be able to fix this by ourselves. There are many of us out here that are making attempts to, at least in our own general vicinity, in our own neighborhoods, network with one another and help our communities out and move towards a positive direction, whichever direction we believe that to be. But in the long term, when it's all said and done, we all live in the same big ship together. We're flying through space, we're sitting on this flat plane together, and all the arguing and fussing and fighting and feuding ain't going to get anything accomplished. And so while we're here, I suggest that we put all of our differences aside. We come to the table, if it's not this table, put a table over on that side of the room and bring your friends over there, and you guys work it out over there, and somewhere along the line, we'll meet in the middle. You might see something or hear something that we're doing, and the two ideas will work together in harmony with one another. That's what we talk about here on the Knights of the Round Table. If you like this show, the podcast will be up right after shortly. Share it on your social media networks. If you want to support this channel, the easiest way to do it, we're not asking for donations or anything, we're just asking for a second or two of your time. Throw a link out there on your social media networks. Tell a friend or something. Join in the chat room. Do like Stephen Gibbons does. He puts more in that chat room than you can imagine. Brilliant stuff. And so, that's how it works. We share the information with one another, and we try to put ideas out there that's going to build a better world, one positive pebble at a time. Peace and love, everybody. You've been listening to the Knights of the Round Table.
Ma'am, sorry. What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you ma'am.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice.
And how'd you get that, eh?
By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma, which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh, how'd you do?
How'd you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you. We're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how do you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake. Her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
But you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
I mean, if I went round saying I was an emperor just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they'd put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help! Help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
Red knights of the round table, three knots whenever able. We'll routine to board a scene, to put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot, we eat ham and jam and spam a lot. Red knights of the round table, our shows are more mid-able. So many times we give and rhyme, to our quiet dancing able. We'll rock a mad in Camelot, we sing from the diaphragm alone.
I have to push the pram a lot.
No, on second thoughts, let's not go to Camelot. It is a silly place.
Right.
Always looking to fill the table and the knights of the round table.